Mobile.
W2JKT Mobile.
MT Mobile, hey there. Name is Michael, this in Pickens.
Name here is Eric, and I'm headed north on 85 at the moment.
No, I hope 85 is not too bad of a parking lot. It's usually not too bad right now, I hope.
Heard it. I'm still down here around exit 32 or something, and so far it's wide open. Usually it slows down there around the Woodruff Pelham area where they're doing all that construction.
Yeah, I try to avoid that area at all costs. That's one of the beauties of living out here in Pickens is we don't have quite the traffic that they have out there.
I have to drive this any time I go into the office, which is, you know, 2-3 days a week. I need to be on 85. I commute down from Shelby, North Carolina, so I'm on it from exit 96 all the way down to 27, both ways. So usually I do pretty well, but sometimes, like this morning, did not do so well.
So you live in North Carolina?
Yeah, home of the Big Ham Fest.
We came from North Carolina. When we moved to Pickens, we've been in Pickens now for going on about 10 years, but my family and I came from the Raleigh, North Carolina area. Actually, we came from Holly Springs, if you're familiar with Holly Springs and Wake Forest. We lived in both of those towns.
Wake Forest is. I'm not super familiar with the geography of North Carolina. I moved down from Philadelphia. I started out in Seneca. Moved down there in like 2010, and then moved to Shelby a couple of years ago. So, not too familiar with it, but you asked me about Philly or New York, I'm all about it.
I'm sure the traffic maybe here is a little less, even in Greenville, a little less than it is in Philly, that's for sure.
I just rode my bike or took train or whatever because it was always faster.
Yeah, and given the climate now with the trains and the subways and all this, you know, stuff you hear on the news about things happening, I don't know if I'd feel safe even doing that anymore.
City just had to deploy a whole bunch of extra cops to the subway system because the crime was getting so bad. But like all things, it's a pendulum, and it'll swing both ways, and, you know, it'll come back after a while.
What line of work are you in?
Electrical engineering team at TTI, that big Ryobi building right there on 85, so we do cordless power tools.
Oh, that's cool. Well, so electrical engineer, and I take it to you're pretty good at math.
Every day.
People like you who love math, because that, man, I tell you what, that's my worst subject. I remember when I was in college, getting done with my math credits, it was more exciting than actually graduating, because I knew once I finished my math credits, I knew I was going to actually graduate.
Depends on how math is presented to you when you're a kid. I'm convinced of that. So if you have good math teachers when you're a kid, you can be good at math. And if you don't have good math teachers when you're a kid, it just makes it that much harder.
I didn't try like I should have when I was in school. And, I was kind of didn't worry about it a whole lot, and parents didn't really push me, so I'm sure I could have done a whole lot better. I did real well in college and grad school, but high school, middle school, or we called it junior high school back then. Yeah, I didn't apply myself like I should have, but that's the way it goes. Fortunately, I've got two kids, and they're real good, straight-A students. They must take after their mom, but my son, he's very math-oriented. It's his favorite and his best subject.
Nobody has to be good at math. You know, just have to enjoy life and find something like doing. So, what line of work are you in?
Gaster. And so I don't have to worry about math a whole lot. I mean, unless I'm counting up years and stuff like that when I'm preparing a sermon. Math is not really something I have to do a whole lot of. And so, managing, you know, budgets and stuff in the church, that's about the most of it that I'll do. But, I do a lot of reading and a lot of writing, so and I enjoy both of those.
You also do a lot with people, and, you know, people come to you with a lot of their deepest and darkest things, you know, so that's always a challenge. And, you know, I have to admire somebody who can, you know, hear the things that people tell them that aren't great, you know, and are tough things to hear. So, you know, kudos to you for that.
Ted, it's very rewarding, and I enjoyed a lot. I've been doing it for about 20 years now, and it's a, I don't want to call it a work, but it's a wonderful field for sure. I enjoy people and enjoy reading and writing and, you know, public speaking and all that kind of stuff. So, it's very rewarding, but, yeah, my daughter, she kind of takes after me. She's the English speaking kind of person, whereas my son more takes after my wife, who's very math, very logical. Just, he's real smart, real bright. Matter of fact, he's getting ready to take his extra class test here, not this Saturday, but next Saturday. He's only 12, so he's a pretty smart kid.
Classic. I got my novice when I was 12, but I didn't get my extra until I was in college. To get an extra class license at the age of 12, that's a pretty big accomplishment right there.
Tech in January is general in February, that's what we did, January, February, and now he's going to take the extra class here come the first Saturday in April. And he got hooked. He was in the shack with me watching me chase some DX, and he really didn't know what it was all about. And he saw he heard the guy on the other end. I think it was in Australia or something, and he heard all of the other guys yelling back at him. You know, he heard the pile up, and he's like, "What is all of that?" I said, "Well, that's a pile up, and I'm trying to be louder. I'm trying to time it right." And, you know, he's very competitive, and it just kind of struck a nerve with him. He's like, "So you're trying to be louder and time it, and you're trying to get over these other guys that are trying to get in touch with him." I said, "Exactly." And so I made three or four calls to the guy, finally broke through, and he got pretty excited about it. Next thing I know, we were talking about him getting a license.
But, you know, ham radio is a lot of fun like that. You know, it is competitive on those contest days, but it's also rich with skill and ability and things to learn, and a lot of technology is in there. So I've always thought it was great for getting kids introduced to technology because it's a simple hobby. It's easy to get into. I've got a 9 and a 15-year-old at home, and neither of them are super interested in it. The older one, you know, he sort of said that, "Yeah, I'm kind of interested in getting a license," but he hasn't really cracked a book open at all to really do it. And they see me operating everything, but, it's either interesting to them or it's not, and I guess that it's not. So I'm okay with that. If they don't want to do it, that's their choice. But, yeah, it's great for your son to be getting his extra at 12. That's a huge thing.
T-Mobile. Yeah, he's a pretty good kid, and I forgot what I was going to tell you. But anyway, we've been sitting back each day. When he comes home from school, which I'm actually sitting in the car line now to pick him up, we'll go on home. We'll do a little studying, look over about 25 questions, and then we'll discuss the questions. I'll discuss them with him, kind of explain them to him, and that's kind of how we've done the last two exams, and he's done really well with that. Oh, I remember what it was. Back in December, it might have been November, I got my GMRS license. I had never gotten a GMRS license, and I thought, you know what, this might be a good thing for the kids to kind of get them hooked, and so I got the GMRS license and kind of used that as well, if you want to call it bait. I guess it worked.
I did the same thing. I got a GMRS license, and I got everybody radios. And, they played with them a little bit. You know, we had the walkie-talkie thing going around from yard to yard. We actually own two houses next door to each other. We use one for our work-at-home offices, and then the other is our living house. And, so the kids were over there at the office building, you know, playing with the dogs or whatever, and we had them on walkie-talkies. But they never got bit by the bug. So, I at first was struggling with it, but, you know, I got to be where I could be okay with it and just enjoy the hobby on my own.
Yeah, the GMRS thing, I mean, my son thought it was cool for, you know, about 10 minutes. Talking with dad, you know, and mom, and, you know, him and his sister aren't going to do it together, was cool, like I said, for about 10 to 15 minutes. But I think it was that night that I was in the shack, and he just didn't really realize what chasing DX meant, and you know, he just thought it was some kind of nerdy hobby that his old man was into, and when he saw that, it kind of struck a nerve with him, and he's like, I wanna learn a little bit more about this, and I said, all right, we'll do it. But anyway, I want to get going. I'm here in the car line. We're getting ready to move up to get my kids, and it's been good talking with you. Remind me of your name one more time.
Here's Eric. I need a reminder on yours as well, if you don't mind.
Yeah, the name is Mike on this end, and are you a member of the Blue Ridge Club?
Not a Shelby Club up where I live.
A friend of mine, we went to the Blue Ridge Club for the first time at the last meeting, and I was just trying to figure out if I had met you or not. But all right, Eric, well, I appreciate the QSO. It's been enjoyable, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
We'll hopefully talk to you again soon. This is W2JKT Mobile, and there's a fire truck with lights on behind me, so I'm going to get out of his way. Talk to you later. Have a good day.
All right, Eric, take care. KX4MT Mobile.
KO4HDX. Hey, Eric. 73 Mike. Maybe we can talk later.
I'm trying to help this fire truck get through here. Here, Patrick.
I'm just motoring up Wild Horse Road.
Yeah, I was hoping this fire truck isn't going to an accident or something.
There's been enough of them around today. I got caught up in one over on 123 today.
Permit out of the plant today. We had a grass fire that was started. The grounds crew was edging along the sidewalk, and the edger blade caught the concrete and just threw some sparks into the grass, and the guy walked off and didn't notice it, and then about a half hour later, the whole field is on fire. So a bunch of guys ran out with fire extinguishers and tried to get it out, and the fire department showed up and finished the job. So no, nobody was hurt, and didn't hurt the building at all, but it was you know, the excitement for the day.
Got caught that quick. I mean, those things can happen. You think as wet as it is, though, it'd be hard to set a fire like that.
Any day, you know, and all the grass is still brown, so it's, you know, it doesn't take much to dry it out.
After that. So how was your day at work?
Most of it doing project schedules and stuff, and other than that, you know, pretty boring, so, you know, except for the excitement of the fire alarm. But, yeah, just headed home. I'm going to plug in the car and then, you know, 5 o'clock go get the kids and start making dinner and stuff.
I'm heading up toward the house, too, so short day today. Not great, but not bad either, so just kind of a average day.
How strong the economy is, but I just still have yet to see it.
Yeah, I was talking with a couple of the business owners, and they're feeling the same thing. Their shops are standing around. You know, they got a little bit to do, but not enough to keep the guys busy past lunchtime.
Stay strong if you're in a preferred business.
It's just not one of these. And then you got the carnival that's in town over in Easley there at the Speedway. Everybody will go spend their money there before they pay you the bills, so you know how that is.
Up Seneca, I mean, people would have their beer for the tailgate long before they paid their utility bill.
I've actually had guys come ask me if I would loan them money to go to the carnival. I'm like, no way.
Money asked me if they could borrow some for some frivolous thing.
Seeing people's spending habits when you start looking around, and then they wonder why they're where they're at.
Simple concept. The out better be less than the in.
Majority of the time, every now and then you can go out more than it's coming in, but you better make sure the majority of the time it is the other way around. But Eric, give me just a minute. I'll be right back. KO4HKX.
JKT Mobile.
KO4HKX. I'm back, Eric.
W2JKT.
The few uses I have for 11 meters, I was trying to let the guy in front of me know he has no brake lights.
You know that before the DOT figured it out.
I had a radio in the truck.
A channel or something. Or do they have, I guess, do modern CBs like have a constant scan at 19?
Not that I'm aware of. They don't make it a priority channel like, you know, a lot of them will keep 19 active all the time, or I don't know of one that does that, but I don't know. A lot of these drivers don't even turn them on if they do have them, so and a lot of them don't even put them in anymore.
Never thought CB as a utility for truckers would ever die, but yeah, I've heard a lot of truckers are getting ham tickets now too, though, and maybe GMRS is becoming a thing.
Lots of quite a few truck drivers and on the ham bands, but I don't know. It just still has a really good use for that. All these big pileups could be avoided if they would just have their CBs on.
Yes, if you have Google Maps, you know, you're going to see stuff on there, and maybe you don't feel like you need one, but, you know, I still see them on the shelf at Quick Trip when I stop in the morning.
Still hear quite a bit of activity on it. It's just not a lot of the truck drivers anymore.
No guys use them on their off-road stuff out there, but there's a guy at my office who's really big into it, and he, you know, he had me go out and help him adjust his CB antenna for, you know, better SWR. I had my antenna analyzer with me, so they had like a little screw-in capacitance hat to slightly adjust the length. And so he was trying to get it landed on, like, channel 6 or something. So I helped him with that. But, yeah, he said that the guys that go off-roading a lot use them a lot.
For HKX, yeah, if you look it up, there is actually a band plan for it on what channels are used for what. And, you know, just like the gentleman's agreement on here on 2 meters, you know, that we'll allocate this portion for digital, this portion for sideband, and that kind of thing. So they just do it by channels.
I handheld CB walkie-talkie when I was a kid at one point, and our local police had them all on their cars. This was like the early 80s, just when we moved upstate New York, and you know, you could listen to the cops like talking to people who would call stuff in on channel 9.
I mean, if you flip it over to 32 through 40 on lower sideband, you'll hear quite a people calling out and talking. You still hear the usual dumb stuff, but for the most part, it's decent. It's no worse than 80 meters anymore.
Definitely hear some choice things on amateur bands, that's for sure. 14.313 comes to mind, 7.2 comes to mind, anything on 75 meters.
Indication of when 10 meters is open, too.
It's been open for that much of my life. You know, I missed the last sunspot peak 10 years ago. Just wasn't in the hobby at the time. And then 2 peaks ago, I was living in Philadelphia, and I only had a 20-meter dipole on the roof. I didn't have any other bands. So, I've missed out on 10 meters the last couple of sunspot cycles.
HF contact was on 10 meters from Penrose, North Carolina to Syracuse, New York.
It was on 40 meters, and it was a CW contact to a gentleman named Helmut somewhere in Germany. I don't remember the call sign, but, yeah, that was, let's see, that was 1987. So, quite a long time ago, 37 years?
Something like that, but yeah, that was my first HF contact, was 10 meters, so, and didn't know if it was going to work or not, didn't have the greatest antenna, just decided I'd see what happened, flipped it over to 28.400 and threw my call out, and lo and behold, there he was.
If dipole is only so-so on 10 meters, it does have an SWR less than 2 in about the middle of the band. But I was thinking about maybe putting up a dedicated 10-meter dipole somewhere just so I can jump on it for the sunspot cycle, because I hear it's really good when it's open.
I monitor it in here in the truck sometimes just to see what's going on, and I hear quite a bit of stuff coming on. I'll flip it over to 28.400, the call-in frequency, and just monitor.
What do you have in your truck?
Yeah, Striker 10-meter radio.
Oh, hang on. That fast.
What? there and pay attention to what's going on around you. Don't worry about that radio.
More for
it. To do.
Yeah, that's a dedicated 10-meter radio? It's an HF for my EV here, but I need to test it at home and see if it throws out a bunch of noise on HF.
Others do, some don't, and a lot of it is going to depend on your grounding and bonding.
And the variable frequency drive they use, because most of them have a synchronous AC motor, and they use like a VFD or something using field-oriented control. So as long as their stuff is good, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. You know, it just all depends on how cheap they were trying to make it that year.
But that way we make it and still get by.
I know about my list. There are a lot of things on the list, and very few things on the list get done.
That. I know what you mean. The list keeps growing, and I keep trying to check them off. Somehow or other, there's more there behind it.
But faster than you can take them off, and it's not always you that adds them.
That's for sure. I'll get mine gets added to by quite a few people.
Yeah, all the kids, the six dogs, the three-legged cat, they always seem to need my time for one thing or another, and, you know, that's great. So, you know, it's all fun. It's just different fun.
It's worth it. I wouldn't change it. So, even though some of them appreciate it, some of them don't. And we have a wreck up here at 414 and 25.
425. I'm trying to think of where that is.
If you're heading north, just after 290 gets off.
Greenville, right?
The Traveler's Rest.
Totally familiar with 25 between 11 and north from there, because when I lived in Seneca, I would take Highway 11 up to 25 to get over and get on 74 to go to Shelby. So anything south of 11, I'm not that familiar with.
We're red light just south of 11. That's 414 where it comes out.
Black cigar.
There's not really anything else landmark around
it. On that way, I think I came down 25 all the way to Greenville just one time. I had my camper up at Shelby Hamfest, and I didn't want to take it down 11 and then try to come down with me, so I just took 25 all the way down into 123 and then took 123 down back into Seneca.
Sometimes it's better to go to less windy and smoother road.
35-foot trailer hanging off your back.
You know, it might take you longer. It might be a smoother and less stressful ride.
What it's all about, you know, like the first time I took that camper anywhere, I went to Nashville from Seneca, and I went 85 all the way down to the perimeter highway around Atlanta, back over to 75 and back up, because I didn't want to go 64 through all the mountains the first time I pulled it.
Yeah, that, I guess, still going down 85 is bad enough.
Like, people be mad at me than me getting a wreck going off one of those winding roads. Control is up to something today. There are a lot of them out today.
HGX, I talked to one of my record companies and the driver this weekend. He said that they were impounding cars quite frequently over on Wild Horse Road. They kept them busy all weekend.
Cars for?
They'd stop them for speeding and then impound them for other things. Just a plethora of no insurance, drugs, you know, that kind of thing.
An old civil asset forfeiture going on, huh?
He said there was about eight of them over there working White Horse this weekend, just nonstop, which it needs to be done, man. They drive like fools out there, but so does 85.
Morning was any indication, man, you know, this morning was pretty nuts, and you know, right after I stopped talking to you this morning, there was a wreck at just past exit 32 on 85 that had two right lanes closed, so I sat in that for about 20 minutes waiting to get past it.
About 9:30 this morning, I was leaving one of my stops, and where a fish trap crosses over 123, somebody made it all the way across the intersection and T-boned another car.
Cogger, I guess.
But just looking for a lawsuit, because you could have plenty of time to stop. You're just intentionally hitting somebody at that point.
So impatient anymore that they just can't stand to wait.
I wasn't there, so can't say for 100% sure, but it sure does look that way. And yes, people are very impatient anymore.
Day's over. I'm headed home, and I'm back in the office Thursday, and then we're off on Friday. And I'm working at home tomorrow to take delivery of our new refrigerator, and then I'm working home Wednesday because I always work at home on Wednesday. And so I've got one more day in the office before my little three-day weekend.
So if I don't talk to you again, enjoy it. But I'm getting ready to pull in here while I switch vehicles, so I'm going to be out for a few minutes.
Another 10 or 15 minutes where I'll get the repeater, so feel free to come back if you want to, but if not, I'll talk to you again soon, and I hope you have a good day. This is W2JKT.
All right, Eric, you have a good ride if I don't talk to you, but I'll try to get back to you. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear. 73.